In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Feast. Today's feast is full of so much beautiful symbolism, prophetic symbolism. The crowd carry branches of palms, those evergreen leaves. And as Jesus processes into the city, they treat him like a conquering king. It was the custom in those days that when a king won a victory, he would march in triumph into his capital, and the people would wave evergreen branches as a salute to his victory. Here, that salute has even greater meaning, because those evergreen plants that don't dry up and lose their leaves every winter, they represent the eternal life that Christ is going to bring to humanity through his cross and resurrection. And they salute him as a king. They think, for whatever reasons they think, but probably because they see in him a worldly deliverer. He had raised Lazarus from the dead and done so many miraculous wonders, they thought this is the one who's going to come and throw off the Roman oppression from us and restore our kingdom like the Maccabees or like the other deliverers who had come during the history of Israel. But Jesus comes for a salvation that far transcends any previous salvation. He comes to save all of mankind, not from an earthly enemy, but from the great enemies of humanity, sin, death, the devil. All of these he's about to do, though the people don't understand it. Another piece of symbolism has to do with this donkey's foal, this ass's colt that Christ rides in on. The hymnography of the church tells us that the ass's colt represents the people of the Gentiles. The Gentiles who were like donkeys or asses, undisciplined, right? The Jews had the law, the Jews had the worship of God, and they had at least that form, that outward form of discipline. But the Gentiles were doing all kinds of craziness at that time. You know, as many of you know, I've been doing a study of sacrifice, and one of the most entertaining parts of that research is reading about all the crazy sacrifices that Gentiles did, various nations did. But suffice it to say that the Gentiles were wild. But Christ now tames the wild beast. And he rides on it, leading it into the holy city, the city which God had promised Moses and the people of Israel before they'd even received the land of promise. He said, I will give you a city and I will cause my name to dwell there. His name, his presence, dwelt in Jerusalem in the temple. And so here the people of the Gentiles are tamed and are led by Jesus into the presence of God, into the holy city itself. And we really are those people. We are those wild and unruly donkeys that Christ has come to tame, to pacify, to lead into the holy city. And that taming of our souls is not something that happens instantaneously when we're received by Christ. It's not something that happens immediately upon baptism, though that's when it begins. But it is a continuous work that he does within us in cooperation with us. And this work of taming us, pacifying our souls, is reflected in today's epistle from Philippians, which is really one of my favorite, actually contains two of my favorite passages in Scripture. First is this: have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a promise that in Christ, if we transform our worries and our anxieties into prayers, that we will receive a transcendent peace, the peace of God, which is beyond anything that can be contemplated in a human sense. It's that same peace that carried the martyrs as they stood facing their death. I mean, something that is humanly impossible to contemplate. And yet there they were, not only not sort of struggling and screaming and trying to run away, but they were answering their persecutors with words of wisdom that came from God. That's the kind of peace that Christ promises to us as he tames our souls. And today, brothers and sisters, we have lots of anxieties because there's lots of uncertainty in our world. With the virus, with the economic fallout of the virus, with questions about how long is this going to go on? When will I be able to see my friends again? When will I be able to come to church again? But St. Paul says, conveying a message to us from the Lord, have no anxiety about anything, but commit all of those cares to Christ so that we may receive peace from him. That means praying to him. But it also means following up on those prayers by letting go. See, prayer, if we're not careful, can be simply a way for us to meditate and chew on our anxieties. But when we pray, the way that we show our prayer to be a sincere prayer, that we are relying on Christ for help, is by letting go of those problems after we pray about them. And then the other passage that I love comes just a bit later. Actually, it comes right after that. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just or righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, filled with grace, if there is anything excellent, if there's any excellence, by the way, the word excellence in Greek is virtue. Also, so if there's anything virtuous, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Again, today, there are a lot of negative things trying to hold our attention. But in Christ, we are shown that in God, the positive triumphs. An otherworldly positive, the triumph of eternal love, the triumph of eternal meaning, the triumph of salvation, the triumph of holiness. All of these things are demonstrated to us in the life of Christ and in what he's about to accomplish. That though the world, all the evils in the world, the Jews' jealousy, the Romans' brutality and lack of compassion, that all of these things were thrown upon Christ. He was assaulted and piled on. And yet in the end, he emerged from the tomb with radiant life that was unconquerable. And he gives that same life to us. And so, brothers and sisters, while the news shows us many things that are untrue, dishonorable, unrighteous, impure, ugly, lacking grace, evil, and ignominious, let us instead focus on the things of the gospel, those things which through their truth, through all of their goodness, bring light into our souls and tame us so that we may enter into the holy city with Christ riding upon us, to whom be glory, honor, and worship, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Happy feasts.